Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, there is one in front of you. Again, the missionaries will both be speaking tonight. Looking forward to hearing from them and seeing their DVD presentations as to what God is doing in their fields. One is from Baffin Island, the other is Moldova. Matthew chapter 16, and this month is going to be Let's Stand for the Local Church Month. I'm just going to give an introduction to the local church this morning, and then we'll talk about that the remainder of this month. 16 in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to start reading at verse number 13.
Amen.
Where Jesus talks about building his church. By the way, not talking about building a physical building. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Everybody that is there, would you give me a hearty amen?
Amen.
All right. We'll read verses 13 down through 16. I'll have you read a couple verses with me, and I'll tell you when to start in. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a good question to ask yourself anytime.
Amen.
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? It's personal now. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I want you to read verses 18 and 19 with me. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Coming off of a month of teaching on the Christian home, let me first of all say that no Christian home can survive the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil without the local church. It's an impossibility. You can get by, you can stay afloat, but you will not be successful without the local church's aid in your life. Now, I'm not saying that the local church is everything for your family, but it is a great support base and a great launching pad, and it is ordained of God for our age. Down through the ages, the church has been misunderstood, the church has been misrepresented, it's been misjudged, it's been mistreated, and sometimes it's been missing altogether. Some folks said, we don't even need church anymore. We've got the Bible, and where two or more gathered, there I am in the midst. May a friend, may I let you know that that's not called church.
That's right,
Pastor. Amen. However, none of those things has stopped the local church. It's still going on in 2017. The gates of hell still shall not prevail against it, and it's still the vehicle God uses in getting out the gospel. He did not ordain the White House, but he did ordain the church to get the gospel out. He did not ordain the school systems, but he did ordain the church to get the gospel out.
Amen.
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 Preacher, that's not popular. I didn't say it was popular. This month, we're going to talk about the church, the local church, get a greater understanding for it so that you and I can be more effective for the cause of Christ and be ready to give an answer as to why we attend it, why we support it, why we love it, and why do we come to it week in and week out and never get tired of it. Amen. By the way, you may get tired in the work of God, but you should never get tired of the work of God. We all have physical flesh, and it's going to get weary at times. The Bible said Jesus had to rest a little bit as well. We should never get tired of it. I do trust that this month will be a refreshing to you of some things that you already know. But maybe there's some things that you don't know that you forgot that we need to get back to doing. As we stand, the Bible says, be able to stand, be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 14. And we've got to have on the whole armor of God. We already talked about standing for the family, The family seems like it's a thing of the past. They're more dysfunctional, more people living together than ever before. But we still need to stand for the family. But we also need to stand for the local church. We've got to stand for the local church. Why? It's becoming deserted.
Yes.
People think that I don't need it. They'd rather go to the mega churches and go to the feel-good gospel churches and go to every place else that does something besides see people get saved.
Amen.
And preach the Bible. Amen. Let that not be our stand. Father, work now in our midst. God, help us to get refreshed once again on the concept of the local church, place you died for, the people you died for. Lord, help us to get reacquainted with what we as God's people ought to do when it comes to the local church. Lord, help us to continue supporting it, loving it, supplying it, working in it, Lord, laboring for it, and Lord, sacrificing through it. Thank you that you gave your own life for the church. And Lord, I do pray that as we look at the things of God today, there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ, that they would understand that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that man, that woman, boy, or girl needs to turn and trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for their sins today. Thank you for the 9 precious professions that were made yesterday. But, oh God, there's so many more that need to hear and that need to heed and that need to get saved. Work through this time that we have. We may be more instructed on how to be more like Jesus and be more supportive of the local church and see you glorified in that which we think, say, and do. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you for our missionaries being here. Thank you for those that couldn't be here. Brother Sam Wilkerson had to travel to Texas. Lord, I pray you keep him safe. Rose in Mexico, many others are working and cannot be here. Some have taken ill, Lord, but each one raised them up. But those that are here, Lord, Holy Spirit, anoint our hearts, anoint our ears. May we be receptive to that which we need to hear. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would walk the aisles and just deal with each individual person here on the way they need to be dealt with. That when it's all said and done, we can say it's been good to be in God's house. And we have made a decision to follow you more and to be more like Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Ms. Dawson is going to sing a song this morning.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming God's good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. As we follow after Christ, we all can reach one. We can lead one to our Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. Is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus. Far away, your door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so. You must tell someone who will tell someone until our whole world knows.
self. You know, if each one of us would reach one, we would double ourselves. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If each one of us reach one person and just duplicated ourselves, we would double the church size in no time at all.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, that is one of the things that the God left us here to do. Did you ever think, if God saved me, why didn't he just take me right away? If he's reserving heaven for me and I'm going to be in heaven one day, why didn't he just take me right away so that you can reach someone else? Each one reach one. Somebody else needs to hear about the God that you love and the God that saved you. Amen. And I am so excited that we have the capability of reaching other people. Now, I've got a DVD, a little skit that I'm going to show you here just very quickly here in just a moment. And I want you to think about the thought process behind the individual that you're going to watch, because our goal is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes it involves just inviting them to church. But there's going to be an individual in a skit inviting people to church. And I want you to look at the way he's doing it. And I think you might find something very, very interesting in there as you see this. Amen. So I'm going to turn this on and they're going to turn the lights out. And I want you to watch this. As I go down here, amen. This guy, as he's evangelizing or attempting to evangelize, if you would.
So we would love to have you come and visit our church sometime. Here's a brochure. It has the church service times, directions, phone numbers. Zach and I would love it if you just came and visited sometime at the church.
Right.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, Doug, thanks for handling that. I was messing the whole thing up. I just don't think I'm cut out for this whole evangelism thing.
Sure you are. All you have to do is just simply invite people to the church and then tell them about Jesus if they're interested.
Yeah, it sounds easy, but I just don't think I have the gift.
Don't be silly. Look, here comes a gentleman. It's your turn. Why don't you try it? Just go talk to him.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
Hey! You wouldn't want to go to church, would you?
What?
Your church? You know,
the church.
Yeah, probably not interested, huh? Better things to do on a Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. See?
Oh, you got to be kidding. What are you doing?
I'm hopeless. I just can't get it, you know? We should go. I mean, I know you tried to make me into this little church evangelist guy, but it's not.
Okay, Zach,
happening.
You're going to be fine. You just need more practice. That's all.
I don't
okay, look,
think that...
here comes a lady coming up on your left. Go ahead. Just try it again.
Okay. Do you have to stand so close to me?
What?
Maybe I wouldn't be so nervous if you stood over there.
Okay, good idea. I'll just stand over here and
way,
observe.
Way over there.
Fine, I'm way over here.
Okay, good. Look, I'm about to invite you to my church, okay? It's a really big church with a loud organ, all right? And there's lots of screaming babies and children, and parking's a problem, and so is finding a working restroom. And the pastor, he likes to pass out the offering plate every service, like 5 or 6 times in a row until he gets what he wants. Now, if you know what's good for you, you'll turn around and pretend you never met me and walk off in that direction as fast as you possibly can. Go, go now, go, go. See? I don't know.
What did you say to that poor lady? She looked terrified.
Nothing. I just invited her to church. What's the big deal?
What did I hear? I heard something about organs and offerings.
No. I didn't say that.
It's almost like you're trying to turn people away.
Well, what can I say? I guess I'm just not one to evangelize. I don't have the touch. I'm a loser, okay? I mean, we should probably go.
No, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to quit.
Oh.
Look, you see this lady over here? I've seen her before, right there. She lives here on the street.
Oh,
just go talk to her.
Doug, I...
Look, I'll even go stand over there, all right?
Come on. All right. Hello, my name is Zach.
Hi, I'm Abigail.
Hi, Abigail. Abigail,
I'm going to take this brand new crisp $1 bill, I'm going to place it right here in this church brochure. Now, if you'll just smile and nod and take this brochure, you can keep the dollar.
So I smile and nod and take the brochure. And the dollar's mine?
Yeah. I'm inviting you to church now. Inviting you. Good job, Abigail. Now you can just turn and leave.
Okay. That'll cost you $5.
What?
$5 and I'll walk away.
What? You can't do that. You can't do that.
Gee, Zach, I really would like to hear more about your church.
Okay. Here's $5, okay? Now I'm gonna shake your hand and you can take it, all right? And this whole thing will be over, okay? Nice to meet you, Abigail. Nice to meet you. Now, if there's anything more we can do for you, pray for you or something, you just let me know, okay? All right. Goodbye now. Goodbye.
You know, since you mentioned it, I really would like to know what your church could do for me and have you pray for me.
What are you doing?
$20 or I'll make you pray for me. Right here.
You wouldn't dare.
I have such a long prayer list. Where should I begin?
All right then, $20. But that's it, okay? No more. After this, you leave, okay? You beat it! Oh, and God bless you!
God bless you. Oh, see you in church.
See you. Oh.
Great job, Zach. She said she was going to go to church, and I noticed you even helped the poor lady out with some money.
No, I didn't. That lady just robbed me blind.
What are you talking about?
Listen, Doug, the fact of the matter is I don't want any other people coming to our church. I've been out here sabotaging this whole evangelism thing.
Why would you do that?
Because I like our church just the way it is. It's cozy, it's comfortable, it's convenient, and I don't want the dynamics of the place to be changed by having a whole bunch of new people come in and mess things up.
So that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
You want to protect the church comfort zone from outsiders.
Yes.
But Zach, this isn't our church. It's God's church.
Oh.
The whole purpose behind the church is to reach others for Christ.
Yeah, but when we reach them, they come in and they park in our parking spot and sit in our pew, and there's a whole lot less food to eat at the church potluck. You ever think about that?
Man, do you have an attitude problem?
You have no idea.
Hey, wait, where do you think you're going?
You can evangelize. I'm going to go back to the first church of the comfort zone. $20!
Zach,
I can't believe this.
Hey, would you just listen? Come on, listen.
I'm a good listener for a dollar.
How some people actually feel. They don't want new people in the church. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. They don't sound like me. They don't dress like me. They've got this, they've got that, and I don't want that type of people in my church. Well, last time I checked, it was God's church. And so this guy sabotaged his whole soul winning opportunity just because he didn't want new people in his church. God died for people like you and me.
Amen.
And for people out there on the street. And I'm afraid that sometimes, now I understand we're afraid to witness and sometimes we have that fear, and I'm not discounting that fear that goes along with soul winning. But when we don't want to tell others because we feel they'll come in and ruin our church, then we've got a real big problem. Because my Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save them which were lost. They were lame, they were deaf, they were blind, they were halt, they were poor, they were needy. And such were some of us.
Right,
spiritually speaking, we all were like that at one point. I read a devotion earlier in the year, and I want to read that devotion to you. And it's talking about the local church. And it says this, and it actually, now, just think about this thought for a moment. We're losing more and more people in the local church because of social networking. And social networking is supposed to be helping bring people in the church. But more people feel since they have a relationship with someone on social network and I get spiritual information, I don't need the local church anymore. It says social networking sites can take up a lot of time. Updating your profile, blogging about your experiences, reading your friends' news feeds. Yet despite the commitment, social networking sites continue to expand. Why? Perhaps it's the power. Normally, when we enter in a community, it takes a while to build relationships of trust to be able to act and have people respect your action. With a social networking site, though you have control immediately simply by joining. In a matter of days, you can create your own community. Friend and unfriend people at will. No long conversations. No repeated attempts to work things out. Amen. One day you're my friend, the next day you're not. Also, consider the convenience. Social interaction happens through a screen. We can turn relationships on, interacting when and where and for however long we want, and then turn them off completely. All without physically coming into contact with people. The internet offers us the perfect social world. A world in which we can control who is in and who is out. Turn relationships on and turn relationships off at the press of a key. This is not so in the local church, and perhaps that's why some avoid it. The community of God or the local church is different. Jesus called Jews and Gentiles, teachers of the law and tax collectors, Pharisees and prostitutes to follow him. Those who would ordinarily shun one another were brought together in the church in Christ. Such is God's grace. Jesus, by dying, brings forgiveness to all, great and small. And by his gracious calling, he makes you and I a part of the people of God together. Such grace bestows a different kind of strength, strong relationships of faith. We don't have the power to decide who's part of our community and our church. Instead, we trust in the wisdom and the power of God's gracious calling to bring people in. He creates the community of faith. Our job is just to evangelize. He brings us together with people we would otherwise not know, even some we might rather not know at all. He calls us to journey with others at times and in places that may not fit neatly into our schedules and to do so knowing that God graciously governs his church. In doing this, Jesus reveals to us and to others that we are all here by his love and not our choice. Think about that. Many folks have reverted to internet and social networking because they can get a spiritual fix of a relationship. See, when you come to local church, you can't turn people off and you can't turn people on. So many folks avoid the house of God because they say, well, you know, I've got to talk to people. Well, last time I checked, you are a people.
Yes, sir,
Pastor. Last time I checked, God died for people.
Yes, sir.
And with social networking, it's so easy to get wrapped up in this world out there of non-real people. They're real people, but not real relationships. And so I can unfriend and friend someone, but my friend, Jesus died for people. And he wants you and I to reach people. He said he was going to establish a local church. This guy that you just saw here didn't want people in his church because people were going to spoil his church. They would come in. They're unlike him. Praise God. If everybody were like him, I wouldn't want to go to that church either. He's got a big, real big attitude problem. He said, you have no idea. You know, that's what it really all boils down to. What's our attitude like for the local church? What's our attitude about what Christ tells us to do? What's our attitude like towards people that don't have Jesus Christ? And before you answer that question, you yourself were without Christ once upon a time. And someone had to give you the gospel.
Amen.
You were there. As Paul said, such were some of you. Today we're going to start just re-looking at the local church and our stand for it. We're not going to look at a lot of things this morning, but I do want to bring us face-to-face with the Lord talking about how he was going to build his church. And by the way, he's building his church with people. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13 through 20 is the scriptures we just read. Notice he says, when Jesus came into coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus wanted to get some reaction. Who will people say that I am? Amen. By the way, it really doesn't matter what people say. You know what matters? What you believe and who you believe. You say, wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean? What I believe and who I believe? You can believe in Muhammad Ali. He's not going to save you. You can believe in Buddha. He's not going to save you. You can believe in George Washington. He's not going to save you. You can believe in a whole lot of people, but they're not going to save you. So it's what you believe and whom you believe. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so who you believe and what you believe is paramount. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They began to list some people here. Some say John the Baptist. Obviously, there was something about his preaching that resembled John the Baptist. Maybe it was some fiery, passionate preaching at times. I don't know. He said down there, some say Elias. Now, y'all know how Elijah preached. Elijah called down fire from heaven and consumed folks. So he was a fire and brimstone preacher if I ever saw one. Amen. And he said, and others, Jeremiah's, maybe of the weeping prophet, maybe Jesus' compassion. He shed tears on people and he looked at people, and maybe the compassion that he had reminded him of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is a comparison. Elijah's a comparison. John the Baptist is a comparison. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I bet you could hear a pin drop. I bet you could hear a pin. He said, okay, I heard what people say, but what do you say? What do you think about that? Peter, as the spokesman, said, thou art the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Son of the living God. I'm so glad I don't serve a dead God. The Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus answered unto him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. By the way, Barjona means son of Jonah. And so in the same way that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, now blessed or happy art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, you know what? You made a divine statement. In the same way you called me the Son of the living God, I'm going to call you the Son of Jonah. You made a divine statement because God has given that to you. You didn't say that by yourself. Then he says this, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, not Peter, but the profession that he made that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon that profession that you made that I am the Christ, I am the Son of the living God, the same way you're the son of Barjona. He said, I will build my church on that profession of faith that you made on myself, that I am the Christ. I'm the anointed one. He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Therein is the profession that Jesus made that the church would be founded and built on himself. And the revelation that Peter gave. So we're going to look at a few things about the local church today. He gave access to Peter there with the keys of the kingdom, giving folks access by the gospel. And I want to talk about two basic things today. The meaning of the local church. And then the members of the local church, or the makeup of the local church. Those two basic things today. And we won't be with this long, but I do want to get that point down. When Jesus stated he would build his church, he meant he would be the spiritual foundation of the church, not the structural foundation or the physical foundation. By the way, the church, this building, is not the body of Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If that were the case, then I feel sorry for this building because this building used to be a Masonic temple. Amen. And the Masons of the devil. I'm sorry if you're one, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. Masons are of the devil. No, let me stop that. Masonry is of the devil. The practice of masonry is of the devil. And that Jesus still wants to save Masons. But masonry is of the devil. That's witchcraft. And so this building was a Masonic temple. We joked when we first got into this building because there was a light up there. And we could not figure out for the life of us what this light was for. I mean, it's right in the middle of the building. We said, what in the world is that light for? And then one of the brothers said, I think that was the interrogation point, where they would put the Masons right down there and shine the light on them and interrogate them like that. And we still don't know what the light was for, amen. But we said it was the interrogation point. But this was a Masonic temple when it was built originally. And I'm so glad that now we can be here having church as the body of Christ, and it's not the building. Amen. And so the meaning of the local church, when Jesus stated he would build his church, he meant he would be the spiritual foundation of the church, and then the members would comprise the body of Christ, or the church, those saved and brought into the body of Christ. And by the way, notice several references to the building of this church, or the building of the body. Ephesians 2:19-20 says it this way: Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being, notice this, the chief cornerstone. So in other words, he's the one that sticks it all together. Ephesians 2:21 says it this way: In whom all the building, notice again, a building reference, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Again, it's a building reference. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says it this way: For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Another building term, foundation, building. Ephesians 1:22-23 says it this way: It hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the spiritual body of Christ, not the physical building. By the way, the concept of the church was also in the Old Testament before Christ even came. Say, what do you mean in the Old Testament? When Moses got the children of Israel and they got pulled out of Egypt, it's a picture of a called out group of people for a purpose for God. And so the purpose was seen back in the Old Testament before the concept of New Testament church was even thought of. God pulled him out, a group of people from the world, and set them apart and put them on their way and gave them statutes to obey. The principle is still the same today. God calls out a people for himself into a spiritual body called the church. This building is not the church, although we meet here. By the way, I could take y'all outside into the park and meet under a tree. Guess what we'd still be called? The church. I could take you down to Chicago in the subway system, and guess what we'd still be called? The church. I could take y'all to Moldova, and we could meet out in the fields, and guess what we'd be called with Brother Hughes? The church. I could take you over to Baffin Island and freeze you to death, amen? And guess what we'd be called? The church. We'd be a cold church, but we'd be a church nonetheless, amen? Popsicle church, amen? But we'd still be called the church. I can put you in the Sahara Desert and get you so hot that you think you're going to die. And guess what you'd still be called? The church. Because we've been called out. The meaning of the local church. We can take our group anywhere and we're still the church. So it is a spiritual foundation built on Christ. And we are the physical members that can be seen, which make up the church. Notice its meaning defined. Let's define two words, local and church. The word local means confined to a particular place in the vicinity of, or nearby, or close to. When I was in Belgium, you would see a Catholic church almost on every corner of that community. My wife and I lived in one community. There was a church there. But if you went down about three blocks, guess what? There was another Catholic church. You went three blocks that way, guess what there was? Another Catholic church. They got that concept right. There should be a local church everywhere. They got the principle and the teaching all wrong, but they got the concept right. There should be a local church where people are so they can go in there and get built up and get saved. Unfortunately, Catholicism, they don't get saved. And so its meaning defined, the words local means confined to a particular place. So you and I would be called the local church in this area. The word church comes from the Greek ekklesia, which means a called out assembly or body. By the way, let me give you this. Jesus did not invent the word church. People say, oh, Jesus invented the word church. No, he didn't invent the word church. Now, he invented words, period, but not the word church. Amen. He merely used the word already in circulation and understood by the Jews and the Greeks he preached to. So when he said, I will build my church, they fully understood at that time what he was talking about. Because it was a word already in circulation. He didn't come up with some new term and say, I'm going to build it. They thought, well, it wasn't like manna when they said, well, what is it? What? It wasn't like manna. They didn't have a clue. They thought, what in the world is that? It's tasted. It's sweet. It tastes like honey and like wafers. What is it? Manna. Church was not like that. He used a word that was already in circulation. Weldon Adams, in his commentary, says this. In the New Testament, its primary meaning meant an organized assembly whose members have been properly called out from private homes to attend public affairs. John Phillips says it this way. The Hebrews used the word church to describe themselves as a selected people, as a theocracy, as a people governed by God rather than by politics or human kings. Amen. The Greeks used the word church to describe an assembly of free men, a town meeting. Jesus used the word church to denote his own assembly in this world, his own believing people, those who have made the great confession that he is the Christ. They have accepted him as Lord and Savior, and those who uphold his authority in their lives individually and collectively. His followers would neither be Jews nor Greeks, but as they came to be called Christians. Christ's ones. By the way, it was a derogatory term initially. Now everybody wants to be a Christian. Oh, yeah, I was born a Christian. Well, you were born a human being. You weren't born a Christian. You were born a sinner. But you weren't born a Christian. And so the word local in church means there's a group of people here in this local area that are a church. That's why the Baffin Islands can have a church. That's why Hughes can have a church over in Moldova. That's why you can have a church in Virginia. That's why you can have a church in Sal Rita. You can have a church in Oral Valley. You can have several churches here in Tucson. And by the way, we are not the only Christians in the world. Oh. If they're not here, it's heresy. So that means our missionaries are in heresy because they're not a part of us. Now, they are a part of us through missions. But we don't house all the Christians. Well, if you don't go to my church, you're in sin. No. No. Now, they might be in sin, but not because they don't come to our church. Amen. We use the word generally describing where we meet, but it's the who that counts. The who is the body. It's the church. But we are not the only Christians. We don't have all the saved people in our church, and there's saved people all around the world that come together. Sunrise Baptist Church is on the south side. Old Pueblo down on Broadway. Cornerstone is out in Sal Rita. Desert View is out there in Sal Rita as well. Sun and Shield is out in Marana. New Testament Baptist Church is down the road. Tucson Baptist Temple is right over here. So you got so many churches that still preach the gospel. Amen. We don't have the market on that. But I tell you what happens, people like to go to programs. Let's say it again. People like to go to programs. Brother Hitz and Brother, probably not you, but Brother Hitz, you remember when you first came to the storefront, we didn't have a whole lot going on over there. We didn't have any kids programs, didn't have a whole lot of kid-friendly stuff. And this is what people would say to me. Well, you don't have anything for my teenagers, so I'm not going to stay. Oh, well, you don't have anything for my 8-year-old, so I'm not going to stay. Well, you don't have a pastor pirate, you're not going to stay. Well, if everybody said that, we'd never have anything. Yeah. And so they go to the bigger churches. Somebody's got to stay sooner or later so that we can have something. But that's what we heard all the time. Well, you don't have this, you don't have this. You don't have a singles program. You don't have a married couples. You don't have a men's class. You don't have this, you don't have this. And you get all those things and people still ain't satisfied. I just come to find out people just ain't going to be satisfied. Where Brother Joe at? They're going to be complainers, Joe. They're not going to be happy. I don't care. So I might as well just stick with the book. Might as well just preach the Bible. This is one of those things. There are going to be saved people all over the place. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. That's talking about in the future, folks. That's all everybody getting together. So the word church comes from the Greek ekklesia, which means a called out assembly or body. By the way, the moment you got saved, you got called out. And by the way, you may not be a member of a local church, but if you got saved, you've still been called out.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
And guess what? If the rapture happens, let me rephrase that. When the rapture happens,
when?
You're still going to get caught up, whether you're a member of this church or not. Whether you're a member of the church down the street or not. Guess why? It's not predicated on that. It's predicated upon, did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Did you repent of your sins? Did you turn from sin to the Savior? Did you believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection for you? Did you apply it to your account? We had the funeral yesterday, and after the funeral was over, one of the young men came to me and wanted to talk to me about some things, and I brushed him off. I thought it was just going to be chit-chat. But when I finally sat down with the young man started weeping. He said, I'm not saved. And I said, surely you must be saved. Don't you know this and this and this and this? He said, I know all that. And I said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you've been in church long enough, you know what to do. And he said this, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. That's a man that genuinely was humbled. He said, I need someone to help me. He knew all the lingo. He knew what to say, but he wasn't saved. He knew that I should call on the Lord. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that the Bible was true. He knew the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He knew that his sin was going to cause him to go to a place called hell. He knew all that, but he didn't know how to pray to accept Christ as his Savior. My friend, that's the average person out there in this world. They don't know. They think they're okay because they've been baptized. They think they're okay because they go to church. They think they're okay because they're a good person. Preacher, how do you know that? Because that's what I thought. Until I was 27 years old, that's okay. Because God is merciful and God is loving. And so when God gets me to heaven, he'll make a deal with me because he loves me, for God so loved the world. No, read the rest of it. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What does that mean? That means that somebody's going to perish if they don't have that somebody. Who's that somebody? That Son of God. The Son of the living God. The Christ. The anointed one who died for mankind. I didn't realize that until I was 27. I thought I could get to heaven and make a deal with God. Don't look at me crazy. Some of y'all thought the same thing. I'll get up there and say, look at all the money I gave. I'll get up there and say, look at all the people I helped. I'll get up to heaven and say, look at all the prayers I prayed. Oh, Lord, look at all the good things I've done. Look at my good works. What about that bad stuff over there? Oh, we don't want to go in that closet. Door number two is a bad door. No, we don't want that one. But look at door number one. Look at what I've done. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
Amen.
The washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, what am I saying? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, man, you mean to tell me you don't know what you need to do? He said, no, I don't. Weeping, he prayed. And sitting on that bench, he got saved yesterday. Now, he's not been baptized yet. Not a member of the church yet. But guess what? He's still going to heaven.
Amen.
Why? That's all secondary. What gets me to heaven? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when you look at this, the church, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the church is going to be local sometimes. It's going to be the people in that area that are called out. It's been the Old Testament, but it's also the New Testament. It's meaning demonstrated. Go back over to Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew chapter number 4. And notice how this works. We see it defined, but notice it demonstrated in Matthew chapter number 4. And in chapter 4 of Matthew, notice how Jesus quickly and easily does this. Matthew chapter number 4. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. All right, here's the Sea of Galilee over here. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew. We'll call this Simon and Andrew. Come here. His brothers casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come on with me. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw those guys. He called. And they straightway, what'd they do? They left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Amen. Got two brothers here. Matthew, come here with me. Mark and Martin and Mike. Martin and Mike, did I get it right? Yes. All right. Straightway they follow it. And going on, all right, so you're James, you're John, the sons of Zebedee, John, his brother in the ship. They mended their nets, he called them, and they immediately left their nets, and they followed him. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the gospel, the kingdom of God, and healing all manner of sickness. So you guys are going to go with me for a while. Come on over here. Are you sick? You're not, so I can't lay hands on you? Okay, amen. All right, so he went about Galilee. He's teaching in their synagogues. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. You sick, amen. Let's heal you, amen. All right, you're well now, amen. You're healed. Get up and do a cartwheel or something. Give me some money. No. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. Brother, you got torments? Amen. It says down there, taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So what did he do? He began building his church by calling people out to go with him. He called Andrew, he called Peter, he called James and John. You like fish? All right, we're going to make you fisher of men. You like fish?
Yes.
All right, we'll make you a fisherman. You like fish?
Yes.
All right, now, this is what I need y'all to do. I went preaching. I showed y'all what to do, right? Now, I want each one of y'all to go get you another man and bring him up here. One man. Or not a man, boy. Boy, young person, don't get any ladies. Get your hands off the ladies. Each one of y'all bring somebody up here. All right? Because that's what Jesus basically did. He went along and he picked out all the men. Y'all got somebody? Study Long said, they don't want to come, go get you another fish. Yeah. Get Joe back there. Oh, hey, you got him. There you go. All right. Hey, y'all got junior fish here. Amen. All right. All right. Now, what's your name?
Kenny,
amen. And what's your name?
Paul John.
Paul John. I know your dad. And what's your name?
Micah.
Micah. All right. So they've got some. Now, what did they do? Jesus called them. And what did they do? They called somebody else. What is the local church made up of? Called out individuals that have accepted Christ as Savior. One, two, three. Where's my four? Amen. Four individuals that got saved. They got baptized. What did they do? They went to get somebody else. Folks, that in essence is what Jesus did with the 12. He got them out and called them one at a time. And he said, now your job is to go get somebody else. And that's why we have the church today as we have it, because that's what he did. And that is our job.
Amen.
Now, does it matter what they look like? Does it matter if they wear yellow shirts? No. Does it matter if they have turquoise shirts on? No. Does it matter if they have vests on? No. Does it matter if they have red glasses? No. Does it matter if they have stripes? No. Does it matter if they got a white shirt? No. Does it matter if they have short sleeves? No. Does it matter if they got a nice pastel verse? What is that? What is that design there? Paisley. I knew it was a P. Amen. Paisley vest? No. Does it matter if they button their shirts all the way to the top? No. No and no. Does it matter if they're bald? No. Heavens no. And so what just happened here? Jesus called them, but then he told them to call others. And guess what? They came and that is the church. Give these men a hand. Thank you, gentlemen. It's just that simple. He said, I will build my church. How am I going to build my church? By going locally and then by getting people to be called out from where they're at and doing what they're doing and accept Christ as Savior, his death, burial, and resurrection, bring them into the church and deal with them. Now let's finish this up and wind it up. Talking about the meaning of our local church, the meaning defined, the meaning demonstrated. But in the members of our local church, Acts 2:41, go over there with me very, very quickly, and I'm going to close this up. Acts 2:41. We see the meaning of the local church, but then the members or the makeup of the local church, Acts 2:41. You saw a glimpse of it just now, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Since the word church means called out body, something must separate us from others. We have been called out by salvation. The local church is made up of saved or believing members. It's not just anybody. The membership should be made of saved people, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says this way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Acts 16:31 says, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So the membership should be saved people. However, there will always be those that make false professions. The man that I dealt with yesterday said he was saved previously. That's why I was shocked when he came to me weeping, saying that he needed to be saved. Amen. And that's why I reiterated to him, you know what to do. And that's when he came back and said, I don't know what to do. The person had been in church for a long time. Amen. Just because you go to church doesn't make you saved. Just because you go in a car doesn't make you a garage. Some believe they really are saved. It's sad because they've listened to someone that told them, I thought I was saved. When I was young, they put a mic in front of me. They said, you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? I said, yes. They said, you believe God raised from the dead? I said, yes. They said, amen. You can join the church. You're saved. But folks, that's what was told to me when I was about 9 years old. And so I lived the rest of my life thinking, I'm saved. I joined the church. I got baptized. Baptism must save me. I didn't know I needed to ask more questions. And so many out there think they are saved. They're Catholic. And you talk to a Catholic person, I'm Catholic. That makes them saved. I took communion. That makes me saved. I've been baptized. I joined the church. I got some ashes on my head. I'm dirty. I must be saved. Jesus picked the first church members, and one of them was a devil. John chapter 6 and verse 7, Jesus answered, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Acts 8:13, Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. But then later, Peter would say, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gift of God can be purchased. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. I perceive that our heart is not right with God. Thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. That doesn't sound like a saved person to me. But somebody says, thy money perish with thee. But yet still he got baptized. Yet still Judas was with the 12. And so it doesn't matter what people say. What matters is what's in their heart. By the way, may I say this to you, just like I told the young man yesterday, a sinner's prayer does not save a sinner. Amen. You can say 1,000 sinner prayers. If your heart is not right with God, you cannot be saved. Hello. It's not in the prayer, it's in the heart. For with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so it does me no good to sit there and pray a sinner's prayer. I prayed a sinner's prayer many times before and wasn't saved. I read a whole bunch of gospel tracts and wasn't saved. So it's not the reading of the tract, it's the condition of the heart. Before a holy God, do I really see Jesus Christ high and lifted up? Do I see that he died for my sins? Did I see that he did it all for me? Did I see him buried and risen again for me? Did I see that? That Carlene's testimony said this. She said she saw so vividly Jesus on the cross, dying for her. She made it personal, dying for me. By the way, he died for you.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And that's what it's about. Seeing Christ die for you, buried for you, risen for you, dying as you, buried as you, risen for you. Did you see it personal? I know I did. If February 3rd, 1991, I saw it clear as a bell. Amen. I saw myself slipping into hell. I saw Jesus Christ dying for me. And I saw him reaching out saying, son, what are you going to do with me? Are you going to accept me? And I was so afraid. I said, I don't want to die and go to hell. As I gave the message yesterday, the young man said, as you spoke, Pastor, all I could see was God was calling me. He was calling me. He was calling me, and I had to answer. What am I saying? The members of the makeup are sinners saved by grace. The local church is made up of not just sinners saved by grace, but submerged members. Notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, if you're there right now. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. They weren't baptized so they could be saved. They were baptized because they were saved. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What happened? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What did they do? As soon as they got baptized, they stuck with the apostles. What did the 12 do? They stuck with Jesus. Amen. They didn't go to some other prophet. They didn't go to John the Baptist. They didn't go to some other teller or some other person. They stayed with Jesus. The 12 stayed and said, look, I'm going to stay with you, Jesus. You called me. You saved me. You gave me the words. Even Judas Iscariot stayed until he hung himself. Amen. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking the bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need, because there was such a large group there. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with what? Gladness. Gladness. Brother Joe, no murmuring there. Gladness.
Amen.
And singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did something miraculous. And who? The Lord added to the what? Church daily, such as should be saved. How did all that happen? Peter stood up and started preaching the Bible. Did he go out there into the crowd and say, now, wait a minute, we don't accept people with beards. And we don't accept people with glasses, so y'all stand over on the side. Blue tie people, we don't accept y'all, so you stand over. Blue eyes too? Yeah, you got to go on that side. No? And people with red shirts, no, you stay on that side. And okay, so have I gotten everybody that I want to have in the church? Okay, now let's preach. No. Peter stood up and just put the word out there. And what does it say in verse 41? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. He could care less. What they could have been green, blue, black, brown, purple, orange, beard, no beard, bald. It mattered not. Why? That's what the church is all about. It's about reaching anybody and everybody, and whosoever shall call shall be saved. See, folks, we've made the church something else than what the Bible made it. We've made it to where it's got to have programs. It's got to have this. And if it doesn't have this, it's not really a church. If you don't have an assistant pastor, you're not really a church. If you don't have deacons, you're not really a church. If you don't have nurseries, you're not really a church. If you don't have it, and I don't see many of those things listed other than deacons. If you don't have super church, then you're not really a church. If you don't have children's church, you're not really a church. Come see us. We've got super church and power church and midnight church and we've got a playground and we've got a coffee shop and we've got all these things. Well, that's not going to save anybody. I'm sorry. We've got to get back to what the Bible says church is, folks. The members or the makeup, they're saved sinners. What else are there? They're submerged sinners. They've been baptized to show their obedience to Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The meaning of the local church, it's a group that's been called out by salvation, given the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, our job is to support it. And we're going to talk more about that later on. Our job is to go call people to be a part of it, just like you saw me demonstrate it. Our job is to go out and beat the highways and the byways and compel them to come. Our job is to tell them what happened to us. Say, preacher, I don't know how to witness. Just tell them how you got saved. And if you don't know how you got saved, then you need to be saved. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. Folks say, that, I don't like that. You know, I couldn't tell anybody how to get saved before I got saved. I could tell them how to go to church. I could tell them to be baptized. I could tell them how to go to church. I could tell them how to give money. I could tell them how to try to be good. But I couldn't tell anybody how to be saved. But oh, February 3rd, 1991, when I went to back to work on February the 4th, I told all my friends what happened to me, how I got saved. They thought I was a lunatic. Yeah. What are you talking about, man? I'm Catholic. I said, I don't care what you are. You need to be saved. And I said, I don't care what happened to you. Let me tell you what happened to me. And if I die right now, I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Amen. And I know one thing. I don't know a whole lot about this book, but I know Jesus saved me yesterday. Amen. Will I be spoken in tongues? No, but I got one. Hey, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew I was saved. God said, well, you're not really saved all the way yet because you didn't get baptized. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know I'm saved. Now, that's foolishness you're trying to talk. I don't know nothing about that, but I know I'm saved. Now, when I talked to my preacher, I said, well, this guy said, I ain't saved. I know my book says I'm saved. I don't know what he's talking about. And he began to tell me some things about that particular religion. By the way, religion never saved anybody, but it sent a whole bunch of people to hell. Religion is man's way of getting up to God. Righteousness is Jesus Christ coming down to you and getting you. And you just have to receive him. Now, I don't know if you've got Jesus Christ today, but you need to have him in a real, vibrant, personal relationship like I talked about with Carlene yesterday. She came with religion. She left with a relationship. She came with real repentance. She left with a real person. She came with a whole lot of questions. She left with a whole bunch of answers. But one thing is, she got settled. If I died, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm a part of a local, independent, fundamental Bible preaching church, but I'm also a part of the body of Christ. So whether I'm a member of this church or not, I know I'm a member of Christ. My question is, are you a member of Christ today? Are you a member of the church, Christ Church? If you're a member of that church, then you ought to be a part of a local church. And you ought to be baptized. And you ought to follow in that local church. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, just for a moment. Our Lord, thank you for the local church. Thank you for Christ and his testimony to the disciples that I will build my church. Thank you, Lord, that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the precious soul that got saved yesterday. Lord, there may be some here today that need to receive Christ as Savior. And I pray that you speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they've not received Christ as Savior, they would do so. Thank you for meeting our need. Thank you for the greatest need, and that is calling us out one by one individually to be saved. And maybe today you're calling a man, and maybe you're calling a woman or a young person to be saved. And Lord, I pray that you speak to that heart, help them to recognize they've got to answer the call sooner or later. To answer it here means heaven. To wait till later means hell. And I pray that you would show them you love them and you would save them before it's everlasting too late. For those of us that are church members, God, help us to go and get someone. Bring them in to the house of God. Speak to us now during this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I'm going to be honest and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I've been baptized. I'm born again. But I got the order right. I was saved first, baptized second. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I praise God for it. And you'd raise your hand, testimony of how good God's been to you. I know I'm saved. And I've been baptized. I'm on my way to heaven. God's good. Amen. Praise God. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would say, you know, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've not been baptized yet, and I'm waiting to do that. Would you pray for me that I can do it at the next opportunity? Maybe that's you. Preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not baptized. Pray that I can get it done at the next opportunity. Raise that hand. Amen. I see one. Is there another? I see two. Amen. Is there another? I see three. Is there another? You may put them down. A preacher, I'm not saved at all, and I need to be saved. I'm not concerned about the church. I'm not concerned about baptism, but I'm concerned about going to heaven. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, I won't come and pick you out, but I want to pray for you. You'd raise that hand. Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at, raise your hand. Preacher, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. If I died right now, I think I may go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that at all? Anyone at all? Do you know heaven is your home? Anyone else? You may put them down. Well, I would encourage you to do this. If you're awaiting baptism, come and get a date and set it up and do it. If you haven't joined a local church, this is a fine one. Maybe you need to join this local church. If you're not bringing someone in as a witness, go out and get somebody. Bring them in. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart, you need to do it. Father, bless now this invitation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe God's spoken to your hearts. Maybe about somebody you need to go and get and bring into the church. As the music plays, would you come? Would you come? Maybe someone you know, maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend. You need to get them to Christ. You need to give them the word of God. Would you come? Maybe you've not been baptized. You need to set up a date. Would you come? And let's set up a date. Get that baptism taken care of. Maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe you say, if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you come? Let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. God is calling. The local church is not what we think of in 2017. It's a group of individuals called out by God. They're saved and they're submerged in the baptismal waters to obey Christ, to go and get someone else. It's not about a bunch of programs. It's about the power of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, how about you? Would you do what God is calling you to do today? That co-worker is waiting for you to talk to him tomorrow. That classmate's waiting for you to talk to him tomorrow. That relative maybe is waiting for you to invite them to your church. Say, preacher, I'm like the guy in the video. I don't want to change the dynamics of the church. Let Jesus worry about that. Well, I don't want that type of person in my church, but you are that type of person. We're nothing but sinners saved by grace. Let God bring them in. Let God change their heart. Let God change their ways. But you just get them under the sound of the gospel. Let God do the rest. If they come in, they'll come in with profanity. They'll come in with a foul mouth. Let God deal with that. If they come in, they'll come in with a bunch of lies and hypocrisy. They'll come in stealing things. You let God deal with that. If they come in, they don't look like us. Let God deal with that. If they're too young, they're too old. Let God deal with that. When they're too far gone, let God deal with that. Last time I checked, the power of the gospel can break down anything. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. You let God speak to your heart. The local church, let's stand for it. Say, preacher, what is it? It's a called out assembly of individuals in a local area, called by God, saved, submerged, to reach somebody else and do the same thing with them till Jesus comes. Doesn't matter what they look like, just bring them. Just bring them. Our Father, thank you so much for what you've given us here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Lord, we're different from most. We have a different mixture of people. Lord, we're a small group, but a group nonetheless that loves God. Lord, I pray for everyone that raised their hand acknowledging their need this morning. Some need to be saved. Some need to be baptized. Some need to join a local church, this church. Some need to just go out and get others and bring them in. Lord, we're not here just for ourselves, not just a little social group, a social club. It's a called out group to go call others out, just like you did with your 12 disciples. You went one by one, called them by name. And Lord, help us to recognize as we've been called to go and call others that they may see they're called by you to be saved. Lord, I do pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's struggling in their heart right now, whether they need to heed the call of Christ. Don't give them peace until they heed that call and get saved today. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bring us back tonight to hear from our missionaries. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. We'll ask Brother Perkins to come on up, close in a word of prayer. Brother Hitz and Brother Hughes, give you guys a chance to get dismissed out to the foyer. They'll be out there just for a few moments. Then we're going to whisk them away to get them a bite to eat. and then let them get their children some rest this afternoon. And so only about 10 minutes, we'll have them out there, and then we're going to take them away. So make sure you get by and talk to them. Get one of their prayer cards and pray for them, and then we'll take them out, have them back tonight to be here at 5 o'clock. And they're going to be doing all of the service tonight, the singing, and both of them will present their ministries, and both of them will preach tonight. Looking forward to that. Amen.